Our pericope of Scripture this morning is Matthew chapter 3. There we have the baptizing that was done by John the Baptist, including the baptism of Jesus Christ himself. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Esaias, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So far the reading of God's inspired word. Based on this and other passages, we have Lord's Day 26 of the Catechism. In Lord's Day 5, we had our introduction to the means of grace, those instruments that the Holy Spirit uses to grant grace unto us. Now we begin with baptism. Question 69, how art thou admonished and assured by this holy baptism that the one sacrifice of Christ upon the cross is of real advantage to thee? Answer thus, that Christ appointed this external washing with water, adding thereto this promise, that I am as certainly washed by his blood and spirit from all the pollution of my soul, that is, from all my sins, as I am washed externally with water, by which the filthiness of the body is commonly washed away. Question 70. What is it to be washed with the blood and the spirit of Christ? Answer, it is to receive of God the remission of sins freely for the sake of Christ's blood, which he shed for us by his sacrifice upon the cross, and also to be renewed by the Holy Ghost and sanctified to be members of Christ, that so that we may more and more die unto sin and lead holy and unblameable lives. Question 71. Where has Christ promised us that he will certainly wash us by his blood and spirit as we are washed by the water of baptism? Answer: in the institution of baptism, which is thus expressed: Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. This promise is also repeated where the Scripture calls baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins. Beloved in Christ Jesus, last week we saw little Beatrice baptized. And boys and girls, Beatrice didn't know what was happening to her, except some water was placed on her head. You see, baptism doesn't speak to the little baby that is baptized, but baptism speaks to us as a church. You young boys and girls, but even us old people, we see that baptism and we recall, we remember, yes, that water was once put on my head too. And that water was a picture that we were separated from sin, separated from the wicked world that we live in, separated unto Jesus Christ. And so, boys and girls, as you see baptism then, you are able to say at that point, that's what my baptism means. I belong to Jesus Christ. He has made me his by his precious death on the cross. He has taken away all of my sins. What an important means then of God working faith and strengthening faith in our hearts. Faith not in that water, but faith in Christ Jesus and the Spirit of Christ that is given to us. My son, who is here this morning with his boys, he was asked, with maybe the second or the third little boy, by the pastor as he went before the consistory asking for baptism. He was asked, "Do you believe that the water washes away sin?" You got to know my son, kind of a wise person. He says, obviously not. And he was looking at the other boys that he already has. It's not the water that washes away sin. That's external, isn't it? But it is the Spirit of Christ Jesus. And it is the blood of Jesus Christ that was once shed that washes away all of our sins. What a blessing to hear that in the preaching, to see that at the baptism fount. And so it is Christ Jesus that instituted that sacrament in order to be a picture to us, a symbol of our salvation in Jesus Christ alone. So let's look at the sign of baptism. Notice with me, first of all, it is an instituted sign. Notice with me, second of all, it is a meaningful sign. And thirdly, it is a blessed sign. Baptism is an instituted sign. You see, in order for something, a rite, to be a sacrament, It must be divinely instituted. Instituted by Jesus Christ. There were not sacraments in the Old Testament. There were feasts that the Israelites partook of. But it is Christ Jesus that takes some common elements and says, now this is going to be a special sign to you and a seal. Bread and wine are a picture of the nourishment of the body and also the strengthening when we're weary. A little wine refreshes. Water is a picture that you boys and girls, either last night as you got ready for bed or this morning when you got out of bed, Mom made sure that you washed yourself. You're looking nice now. But it is not merely because these elements from nature teach it, but it is because Jesus Christ has instituted it, made it one of the tools that the Holy Spirit's going to use to strengthen our faith. Let me use another illustration. Marriage. Marriage is a beautiful picture, isn't it, of Christ Jesus and his church joined together. But marriage is not a sacrament. Unlike what the Roman Catholic Church teaches, it's not a sacrament. You don't need to get married. There are those who are single for all of their life. So while it's a beautiful picture of Christ and his church, it is not a sacrament. Because Christ did not say, you have to do this. So these two sacraments, as we look this Sunday and next Sunday at baptism, as we later on will look at the Lord's Supper, they are symbols, they are rites, divinely appointed, ordained, and instituted by Christ Jesus here in the church. In the church. When Mrs. Spreetsma and I took a trip to Israel early in our ministry, we had lots of folks that were on that trip with us. And those people would love to go down into the Jordan River as if that water was special and dip themselves in. And others would buy empty vessels so that they could scoop up some of that water from the Jordan River and take it home and baptize their children. It's not the water. Christ has instituted any kind of water to be a sign and a symbol in the church. It's not something we do in our houses. Circumcision in the Old Testament was something that the father would do in the home. But baptism is given to us and is done here in the church. And therefore it is observed by all the church, those who are young, those who are old, and everyone in between. We look at that water sprinkled on the head of the baby, or if it's an adult that is converted, then on the adult's head, and we say, yes. Yes, there is a sign to me. Just as water washes my body outwardly, so the blood of Jesus washes away all of my sins. If we go back into the Old Testament, there were many different washings of purification. And they were there by divine law, weren't they? Those Old Testament rites were looking forward to the New Testament sacrament of baptism. It was symbolized that in our hearts we are washed from all of our sins. And now today it's a sacrament that we have along with the preaching of the word so that we hear the word with our ears and we see the sacrament with our eyes and we believe. In the Old Testament, there was not a lot of this kind of water sprinkling, was there? It would be for women who had a baby. It would also be for those who ever came in contact with a dead body. They'd have to be purified with water. Or again, if someone ate something that was dead beforehand, that died of itself, then they had to be purified. Those sprinklings. And then also now the baptism like John did. It was a baptism of proselytes. That means those who would come that were not Jews, but would come into the Jewish church. They would be baptized with water. And there is John. We read about it, didn't we? He's baptizing, but notice who he's baptizing. It wasn't proselytes. It wasn't those Greeks or Romans. It was Israelites. This was something that was not done before in the Old Testament. It is God himself that came to John and said, "You baptize these people." They were Jews who already were circumcised if they were males, but they would be baptized because of sin in their lives, looking forward to when Jesus Christ would come, wouldn't they? We read in John 1, verse 33, John says, "And I knew him not." Who's him? That's Jesus Christ. "I did not know Jesus Christ," he says, "but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is who will baptize with the Holy Ghost." What a beautiful symbol. Instituted by Christ Jesus shortly before he went to heaven. It was after his death, after his resurrection, as he's going to leave them. Then Jesus said, Matthew 28, verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." So that's the sign. Place this water upon them. And then there's a beautiful seal. Now, what is a seal? If any of you boys and girls have seen your birth certificate, there would be a seal on it. Or on important papers that you have in the house, there's going to be a seal. This is authentic. But what is sealed? What is sealed is not the baby that is being baptized. That water goes on all of our children, but we don't know which are God's children, his elect, and which ones are not. The water is placed on each child, but the seal is the promise. And what is the promise that is sealed to us? Well, we just read it, didn't we? Mark 16, verse 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And what is also sealed, "He that believeth not shall be damned." That is Christ's word, a word that will not fail. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." What a wonderful thing then, set forth by Jesus Christ, instituted by him to be a visible reminder of exactly the word that is preached to us. When John was using baptism, he says, "Repent of your sins." It was a baptism unto repentance. When we are baptized now today, it's not merely repentance, but it is repentance and faith in Christ Jesus. It's the faith of the parents that bring the child. They believe God's word. They want that sign put on their child. And when the child is growing up, then the mother or the father is going to explain to the baby, "You belong to Christ. You were separated from the world and you were separated unto Christ Jesus." Jesus instituted this sacrament to picture our entrance into the covenant. And how do we enter that covenant? And the answer is only by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the only way we have a relationship with Christ Jesus. We enter into the covenant. And that is why it is only takes place once in your life, boys and girls. The other sacrament that we're going to hear about, the Lord's Supper, we do that over and over and over again because it pictures how we need, like the body needs nourishment, we need Christ Jesus every day. We have to feed on Christ Jesus by faith. But baptism is only taken place once, showing us our need for Jesus Christ, showing us that we are filthy of ourselves, filthy with sin, and those sins have to be washed away. But it is also a picture, beloved, of our union with Christ Jesus. The Spirit has united us. We are branches grafted into the vine that draw our life from Christ Jesus. So we have an instituted sign. Jesus Christ said, go, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Notice with me, second of all, it's not only an instituted sign, it is a meaningful sign. When we say, I baptize you now in the name of the Father and by of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we are not saying, the pastor is not saying, I'm baptizing you by the authority of these three. Yes, the pastor is authorized to bring the word and to do the sacraments. But when we hear those words, I now baptize you, and then you put the name in the name of the Father and in the Son and of the Holy Spirit, it means that God by His Spirit is taking us right up into the fellowship of Himself. How beautiful is our God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit love one another. They dwell with one another in fellowship. They delight in one another. And baptism pictures how you and I, when we were baptized, we are brought into that wonderful fellowship. We know God is our God. And we are able to say, and I'm a child of God. He loves me. We have pictures of that in the Old Testament. It is found in our baptism form. And the one picture in the Old Testament is Noah. Noah and his wife and the three boys and their wives. Eight individuals. They were baptized in Christ Jesus, which was pictured as the ark. Can you see, boys and girls, in your mind, those waters coming down from the heavens and gushing up from the earth? A wild, wild sea. And there Noah, with the eight in the ark, are kept safely, along with all those animals. Or another picture. The Israelites, when they're leaving Egypt, they are frightened because Pharaoh is coming with all of his host against them, and right in front of them is the Red Sea, and on two sides of them there are the mountains. What are they going to do? And God opened up a dry path right through the sea, and so all of those Israelites were baptized, we read, unto Moses. They were one with Moses as they were brought through the sea. And that same Red Sea that was a blessing then to Moses and the Israelites was the same means to destroy the Pharaoh and his host. Yes, Pharaoh and his whole host, they were immersed in water to their damnation. they were destroyed. So water is used along with the preaching of the word as a sign to us. It is a blessing to those who believe, but it will testify against those who are hypocrites or those who leave the church. What a blessing. So how is this water to be applied? There are those who insist that immersion is the only proper mode. There are also those who say it's not proper at all. Only the sprinkling of the water is the proper mode. But you see, the mode is not that important. How it's done. Immersion really is, in fact, the better picture, isn't it? Don't we read that? I'm thinking now of Romans chapter 6. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death, and therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. What a beautiful picture immersion is. As Christ went into the water and was baptized and came out, and the Holy Spirit came upon him. In the Old Testament, many times, John the Baptist would baptize in the river. You say, well, why don't we do that today? There are churches that have a big kind of bathtub. And there the person goes completely in the water. Why don't we do that? And the answer is because it's not important how the water is put on. What is important is the picture of the water. Besides, it's not practical, is it? And not always was it done. I want you to think a moment when Peter was preaching there on Pentecost Sunday. And we read that 3,000 believed and were baptized. They didn't all go trotting down to the Jordan River. Later on, again, when Peter is preaching, and there are 5,000 that believe. They didn't go down to the river. The households, whether it be the centurion, Cornelius, that Peter goes to, or whether it be later on all the households of the different saints. I think a moment of the jailer. The Philippian jailer. It's the middle of the night. Do you think that Paul and Silas went and found a river first? No. The water was simply put on them, just like the Old Testament sprinklings. A picture of the washing away of all of our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. We read in 1 Peter chapter 3, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God, waiting in the days of Noah while the ark was a-preparing, were few, that is, 8 souls were saved with water. The like figure whereunto even baptism now doth also save us. How does it save us? Not by the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So as the sign is put upon us, the Holy Spirit comes and he causes us through our lifetime to know by the word our sins are removed from us. So what does your baptism mean? What does your baptism mean? Put your name in it. What does it mean to me? It means, first of all, I'm a new creature. It means that we are regenerated. Life is put into us who were dead in sin. Second of all, It means that we are purified by the blood of Jesus Christ. All of our sins, past, future, all of our sins rested upon Jesus Christ. And there on the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." Those sins are now paid for. They are gone. They are drowned in the deepest part of the ocean and will never be held against you and me. But as we sang, it means more than that. Not only is our sins taken away, but the power of sin is broken. That is, we are renewed. So that there is now a small beginning of obedience in us. It means that by the Spirit who is given to us, we are able to say, "No, Satan, no world, no sinful odd, don't." God, in Christ Jesus, by His Spirit, gives us that power over sin to flee it, to hate it, and to serve Christ Jesus. What a picture. Our sins washed away, we are made new like a little baby, and we are delivered from the power of sin to serve Christ Jesus. And that, beloved, is all through the Holy Spirit. And that's what John the Baptist was pointing out in the passage that we read, Matthew 3. John the Baptist was saying, "Look, I'm just making a picture. I'm baptizing you with water, which is just a picture." No, my son was right. The water itself does not remove one sin. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. But not only are we washed, but we're delivered from the power of sin. The Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And that's what John the Baptist said about Jesus Christ, right? "I baptize with water," he says, "but there's one coming who is greater than I, and he is going to baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He's going to purify us." Do you see that, beloved, in your lives? As you think of different temptations that bombarded you, maybe this past week, did you see the Holy Spirit taking a hold of you and saying, enabling you to say, "No, no, I'm not going to do that. I want to live for Christ Jesus." So notice with me, it is an instituted sign. It's a meaningful sign as we grow up. And thirdly, then, it is a blessed sign. It is a blessing for God's children, the elect. As I said earlier, it is not a blessing for those who are not believing. It's only for those who believe in Christ Jesus alone for their salvation. The waters of the flood, they were a blessing for the church. Can you picture them? The church is lifted up away from the wicked world that hated them and saved. While those same waters, the rest of the world was immersed to their death. The Red Sea separated Israel from Egypt. And those same waters were the judgment of Pharaoh and his host, and they were immersed in it to their death. And so that is true today too. It is only by faith that the water of baptism is a blessing. We don't do it just because, well, that's what we always do. We don't do it because that's what Rome said told us to do. No, it is a blessing for us when we look at baptism with faith. And our faith then is strengthened. Yes, we say, yes. Just like that water washes the outside of my body, yes, the blood of Jesus Christ washes away all the sin of my heart. and I am made one of his children. What a blessing to those who believe. What a condemnation to those who walk away from the church, who say, I don't need Christ Jesus. What a condemnation. A blessing of God, which is great. We are strengthened in Christ Jesus. So when the word is read, that word sets forth Christ Jesus, doesn't it? By faith, and that faith is worked by the preaching. We see Jesus, we hear Jesus, we're drawn to Jesus Christ. And now it doesn't only come to our ear, but it comes to our eyes. Maybe around the meal today, parents, talk with your little children. Talk to our young children, our young adults, our young people. Talk to them about what confession of faith is. Tell them how you in faith brought them to the baptismal font. And they, in faith, when they come of age, they come forward and they make confession of their faith. We're strengthened, renewed. And we realize then we don't live to ourselves. When we go to school, when we work in the home, when we work in the office or the factory, we're not just doing it for ourselves. We're not just doing it for our bosses. We're not doing it for the teachers. But we have been set apart by God in baptism, set unto Christ Jesus in order to serve him, to live for him, to thank him, for he's our God. What a sign of the covenant we read in Romans chapter 4 of Abraham. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith, which he had being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. All of Abraham's household, in the Old Testament, circumcised, bloody, because they were looking forward to the blood that had to be shed on the cross. You and I, not bloody things any longer, but water, so that we may look back to Christ on the cross and say, like his blood that was shed there, so this water is put on me as a picture. My sins are forgiven. I'm a child of God. That sacrament always coming with the preaching, isn't it? For the sacrament itself has no voice, it has no meaning, except by the word of God that comes with it. May God bless then the preaching of the word this morning. May God bless that explanation of baptism so that on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, on Saturday, as well as Sunday, you and I say, I've been washed with the blood of Christ Jesus. I have been made a new creature, a child of God. And I am being renewed by the Spirit daily that I may serve Christ Jesus. What a sign and what a seal. God's word is, he who is baptized and believes shall be saved. Don't doubt it. What an unconditional promise made to each elect person that can never fail to be realized. A sign and seal of God's promise. Amen. Father in heaven, as we read in Titus chapter 3, it is not by our works of righteousness that we have done, But rather it is according to thy mercy that thou hast saved us by the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Oh, may that Spirit fall mightily upon us that we may live our lives for Christ Jesus. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.